You just realized that you needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people that you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there's no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. How fast is Indeed? Well, in the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BWN. Just go to Indeed.com/BWN right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BWN. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And Future Stronger You can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See home club for details.
All people at home!
What's up with that?
You ready?
The drugs from my generation. And it's a sin. The gods, the freaks, the fraud, the messer with me. Come on.
Welcome to the Uso Penitentiary.
Let's get it out.
Talk to you.
Baby.
If I can be serious for a minute.
For the love of God, stay away from the deep of dogs.
Move to the music, play like music. Move it to the music, yeah.
Acknowledge me.
Gentlemen, welcome back to the DWI podcast. My name is PC Tunney. I am your commissioner and the commissioner
of the United States
of damn near America. So I really like that. That was a lot of fun. And I am joined, as always, by the man, the myth, the legend, the other half of the world's greatest tag team never. It's him. It is him. It doth be DPP.
You like the pause in there and get the music going back up?
Yeah.
We're not
alone. We've been missing.
Who's the third man?
We've been missing our fair share of balls, folks. We have the original Big Balls, Andrew Belaz, joining the show today. Andrew, thanks for jumping on, or thank you all for coming together tonight. I guess this all kind of worked out very, very specially. You're supposed to be listening to a brand new show this Thursday morning that we've been hyping up for a long time, but life does indeed get in the way, and that the things that Ray had to do tonight were much more important than anything we were going to record. So I reached out to my man DP and my man Andrew Belaz, and I said, hey guys, why don't we do DWI tonight and we can all take Thursday night off? What do you think? And Andrew thought to himself, I already have off tomorrow night, but I'm going to be here tonight anyway. Let's do it.
Well, I still have to cover TNA.
Tomorrow.
You know, the one that should not be named.
Right. So it was a good way for me to get you on DWI because we're recording on a Wednesday.
Fair enough. That's a good angle to shoot.
Is this a firsties? Were you? No. Have you been on?
He was on. You and Ray came on and took over the show when Dan was gone, and we did a DWI.
That's right.
But this is the first time Dan and Andrew have been on DWI together, even though they've done countless other things together.
We've done Potty's Ward together more often than we've done DWI together.
That is true.
That's a weird sentence.
Those were interesting times.
Hey, at least it's not as bad as the what the hell was the other one? The Blog Talk Radio times of Potty's Ward. When we had to record that way with our other host.
When I was gone for a while.
Dial a number?
Yes, when we had a different host, and some people did call into the number because the commissioner was busy with his softball career.
That's a long time ago now. I have officially missed 4 seasons. Yeah, this will be the 5th season I miss if I don't play this year. I don't plan on it, so I would. I'd also have to lose about 20 pounds in about 2 months. So
never say never.
Dan, what do you think the odds are of me going back to play softball this year?
I'm gonna say there's gonna be at one point somebody's gonna call and you're gonna be like, and they're gonna be like, hey, can you play on Saturday? And you're gonna be like, no, I'm just gonna sit home and drink. Thank you very much. I'm good.
They don't even call anymore. They just know.
Smart.
They know. They the first 2 years they kept calling, and then third year they didn't call, and then this last year they definitely didn't call. So, and I'm fine with that. But enough about me. We got plenty of stuff to talk about this week. So I think it's about time we go ahead. And as soon as I can find it, I found it. Let everybody know what's happening on the 464th edition of DWI.
Well, we're waiting.
Well, it's the big show.
I guess I don't know if this Belaz knows how to do it because he's drinking water, so he doesn't know to join in on the
sheet. Oh, there he goes.
Yeah.
It's a pretty.
I'm glad you think it's water, though. Thank you, Dan, for the confidence.
There's water in it.
No, there's not.
No, what is it?
It is the same color, so it does the same thing. It is soju. Soju is clear, my friend.
There's no water in soju?
I mean, everything's going to have some degree of something to liquidate.
That's
kind of,
right. Yeah, that's what I was.
That's like trying to say you get your water from coffee. Come the fuck on.
Water everywhere.
Not a drop to drink, though.
No. Did you ever hear the story about the boy with wavy hair?
Continue.
No. They shaved his head and found out instead of wavy hair, he had a wavy head. Okay. We're going to talk some sports, some entertainment, and some wrestling this week. You're listening to DWI 464 with Andrew Belaz, DPP, and PC Tunney. We'll be right back after this.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Sports, 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 sports.
Big sports weekend, you guys. I mean, this is like, if you rank the sports weekends, this one's pretty high up there. And I know a lot of people are going to talk about the All-Star game, blah blah blah. It's kind of a fading thing, but think about this though. The NBA All-Star game does better ratings than some Major League Baseball playoff games. So it's not going anywhere whether you like it or not. And that's kind of the discussion we're having here today. But before we get into that, I do want to mention two big things that we probably aren't going to talk a lot about here. William Byron wins his second Daytona 500 in a row. I haven't watched NASCAR since they changed the rules and nobody actually wins the race. And, you know, I just...
Oh, you don't like there being like 3 segment winners and a guy that gets to run around with a pony and a little ribbon that goes on your head and then it's like watching the highway.
First
but
of
only
all,
every 50 laps because then there's a segment. So, you know, you don't like that? You don't?
I love the pony, and who does not want to wear the ribbon?
Ooh.
Okay.
Nice.
Good.
You're welcome. Dan, NASCAR? Yeah?
Uh-huh. That happened?
Okay.
Dummy.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, one of the bigger purses in the PGA Tour outside of the majors and even including the majors, I would think, $20 million purse at the Genesis Open. Tiger was supposed to make his debut this tournament this past weekend, but did not. His mother did pass the weekend before, so
our condolences. Was it Gucci or Prada?
What's that?
The purse. Was it Gucci or Prada? If it's expensive, I need to know.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You're talking about golf.
Oh, the purse. Oh, I get it. $20 million, $4 million to the winner, and it was young Ludvig Åberg. This kid is just a freaking star. He's also, you can see him on TGL, on ESPN. So just adding to the big weekend here, but let's talk about the contrast here. Let's talk about the Four Nations hockey first, because this has been really cool. You know, four country, four nations, one winner. U.S. went out and they took care of Finland 6-1. Had three fights in the first 9 seconds against Canada, beat them 3-2, clinched their spot, or 3-1 or 3-2, clinched their spot in the final. They did lose to Sweden, but it didn't matter. We got U.S. and Canada tonight as you listen. DP, you mentioned you were happy we weren't recording tomorrow because now you don't have to worry about checking in on that late.
That's right. I can watch it live. I don't have to, wait and to get going on this match. U.S.-Canada once again, this time for the championship. It's fantastic. I absolutely love this whole bit. Watch it. You mentioned the fights. That was absolutely hilarious. Nobody saw that coming. It's going to be interesting in the finals to see if the Kachucks are healthy enough to start and play in that game. It's certainly going to make a difference. I know the Sweden game didn't really matter, but you can definitely tell the offense wasn't as great for the U.S. team. But I thought this is just a great idea. Well put together, just a lot of fun in between the season here to, see the international teams play.
The Tkachuks don't have to be too healthy to sit in the penalty box, though. So I think we're fine. It's like they do that in the NHL. They do that in this Four Nations thing. It's fun to watch when they play because they play like it's, older hockey, and I appreciate that. Now, we talked about it a little bit in the pre-show, which was not recorded, but my only quibble with this is the fact that who the fuck cares about Finland? I mean, Finland got dumpstered by everybody. Why? Because no one gives a shit about hockey in Finland. It should be Russia. Yes, I understand the optics and the worldview on Russia. I understand that. Even chess goes as far as, like, you can't just play the Russian flag and they have to have some fill-in FIDE fucking flag when they're playing through their games and you can't be, like, called Russian, really, on cast. I get that. But, like, it's hockey. Who do you think of as, like, the big nations for hockey? It's Canada, it's Sweden, and it's fucking Russia. And, of course, America's in there because we have to be. But, like, no one goes, ah, yes, Finland, I love their hockey. No one does that.
The Finnish people do.
I probably tune into Russian hockey more than Finnish hockey.
I got Sebastian Aho.
Even in the name, like, it's already done before it starts. It's Finnish. That's exactly the reactions I wanted. Thank you.
Woo! I would, you bring up Russia. You know, the thing, too, is the greatest moment in United States hockey history is defeating Russia to get to the gold medal, right? In 1980, yes. Lake Placid. Brady,
45 years ago now?
Brady Tkachuk should be fine. It was Matthew Tkachuk who kind of pulled himself at the end of that game against Canada. But I think they're going to be okay. And U.S. is probably the best team in the world right now, to be honest with you. I did like the fact that Brady talked about that him and Matthew, and I can't think of the other guy who got in the third fight, but they were actually on a text thread during the day saying how they wanted to get things going. That's awesome. I mean, think about it, though. Like, a lot of people probably might have been sitting around, and then all of a sudden on social media or someone texts you, and you goes, oh, my God, there's just three fights in 9 seconds. So maybe you turn it on, things of that nature. Like back in the day in wrestling, like, oh my God, I think Chris Jericho is going to debut in WWE. And Andrew was like, who in the blue hell is Chris Jericho? No, that was Rock.
Why would
Rock
I have said stuff. That? I watched WCW.
It was supposed to be like you were the Rock.
No. I'm way too pale for that.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. So here's the contrast, right? I didn't like the fact that they drafted... Well, first of all, they had the Rising Stars and the Rookies face off on Friday night or Saturday. And the winner of that got into the tournament against the World Stars, the OGs, and like the middle-aged All-Stars, I guess. I don't know. Then they had a tournament up to 40. So, like, you don't even have actual good stats. Like, Steph Curry won the MVP. Show me his stat line. Well, he has three different stat lines where he scored, like, 10, 11, and 12 points, right?
I'm glad you finally informed people what sport we were talking about by saying Steph Curry, because we were talking about hockey, and then you're just talking about NBA stuff without framing it. So thank you, buddy.
Well, the basket, the B stands for basketball.
No, you're fantastic.
I am.
Thank you. He's... You're awesome.
The words of, let me quote Harrison Ford. I know. Did you guys ever have a problem with the old All-Star format? Like, yeah, I knew they weren't going to try unless it was close for like the last 5 or 6 minutes and they were going to try a bunch of fun shit. Like, who cares? I don't know. What are your thoughts, you guys?
But they put more effort in throughout the game. Even fun, stupid shit. Like the year that Magic came back after being out for a couple years because of AIDS. And everybody took 92. Turns. And they're just like, you know, I get Magic this time. Like, they fought over who would guard Magic. And, you know, same thing with Jordan. Like, you know, I remember Kobe, like, going at him, wanting to defend Jordan in the All-Star game because he just wanted more reps against him. No one does that because defense is optional in the NBA nowadays. So no one wants the reps because everybody just has to look and be like, I can hit a three-pointer from 78 feet away. Who gives a fuck? Like,
it's funny you mentioned
that. I remember Magic doing that when he was getting guarded and dropping half court shots on him.
Very true.
Leaving the hand up on it. You know, Dan, Draymond Green even said that this game has kind of evolved into something boring. It's just how fast can I run up and down the court and how many threes can I shoot?
Yeah, and it's that's really bad optics to have an NBA player saying that the NBA All-Star game is boring. That's a bad thing to do.
Oh no!
Even if it's 100% true.
No. He said the game, the NBA, the game of the NBA. No, just
but
the
it's
actual.
It's
talking
about the All-Star game. Barkley and Lambeer say it because then they're just old guys shouting at the clouds.
Draymond,
but when it's an active player saying it,
Draymond wasn't talking about the All-Star game. He was talking about the actual play in the NBA.
Yeah, it's even worse.
Yeah. I was just clarifying for Dan.
Dan's point is amplified from that, though, because like it's one thing if the old heads say it, because then you're old and out of touch. That's the easy write off. But when the active players are just like, this is shit.
Well,
like,
did you hear what Oscar Robertson said?
No, I missed what he said.
He said something to the effect of, I don't know what Draymond's talking about. All he does is pass the ball to Steph Curry. So what does that say about him?
Because that's all he has to do. Pass the ball to Steph Curry and make a screen.
Draymond,
that's his job.
That's not an indictment of the game, though. That's more of an indictment on Draymond. Like, Oscar just sidestepped to talk about the game just to throw shade at Draymond, which I appreciate being a petty bitch. Like, that's fantastic.
I don't know if it's first ballot, but Draymond Green's a Hall of Famer.
I mean,
Draymond Green's like Dennis Rodman.
He's easily a Hall of Famer.
Like,
he's won 4 championships. He has a defensive player of the year. He's a 4-time All-Star. He's been second place defensive player. Like he's all
of him first ballot, but I agree that he's eventually going to get in there. Yes.
100%. So here's my fix. Two things. One thing that you add to the weekend and another thing is the format for the All-Star game. The format for the All-Star game is easy. It's the world US versus the world.
They can do that now, yeah. That's fine.
Okay. Oh, also, shout out to LeBron James, who decided not to tell Adam Silver that he wasn't going to play until the last second. And that didn't allow them to get a replacement, and the other team went with 7 guys, and they could have had somebody else actually play in the All-Star game like Giannis did. He still showed up, was celebrated, gets the notch, is there. LeBron could have done the same thing, and they could have given – all he had to do was tell him the day before, the morning of. Yeah, I just wanted.
What a pansy.
Yeah, try and shoot that puck up my pooper. You got that one?
What? This one?
Hey, try not to shoot that puck up my pooper.
This is great that you can have just like dueling soundboards. I forgot about that, and this is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dan's like,
say hello to my little friend.
Uh-oh.
Hate it.
I love the fact that Dan.
Not a
has
sports
that
fan,
too.
Huh?
Oh, sports, that's great. See, that's an idea. You should just do that for an entire episode. Just
We've
go back
thought
and forth
about
between
it.
Sound
We're saving
yeah, discussed.
It. We're saving it. We're saving it. Oh, that's yes. Like episode 999 or 499.
No actual talking, just soundboards.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
That's genius.
Uh-huh. It's lazy, but it's genius. So the women,
genius is built out of laziness. You think people that want to do the whole process are going to figure out how to make it easier? Come the fuck on.
Well, look at the show you're on, 464th edition. You know how many?
Thank you for making my point, buddy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You want to know how many guns are going to get left in the holster today? That's how many we got. No, so here's what the women did, and I forget who sponsored this because it just happened and it's out of WNBA season, but they had a one-on-one tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you love to see these really good NBA players play one-on-one? But they won't because they're too scared to get embarrassed or lose.
The WNBA actually plays defense.
But one-on-one you'd play defensively, otherwise
but,
you wouldn't
but
play.
They actually play defense and
okay.
Know how to do it.
Here's the thing about the WNBA, Andrew.
Uh-huh.
It's really bad basketball. It's not entertaining. Any state high school championship boys basketball team would destroy any WNBA team.
Until contact comes in.
So, no, they just
if the girl that laid out Caitlin Clark lays out some kid from high school or college, like he's not gonna get out. He's gonna cry. He's gonna expect a technical.
No,
he's gonna think
you're
it's
wrong.
Bullshit.
You're wrong. It's just I'm not trying to be mean to the women, but it's just not. It's not a
just it's, because it's not male.
No, you're missing. You're missing
not
my
the,
point.
The male
you're
version
missing,
of the game.
No, you're missing
doesn't
my
make
point.
It not entertaining.
You're missing my point.
I not, get what you're saying. It's not the same level of basketball.
Right. No. If you just looked at
but
it,
it's still
as,
more entertaining because they're closer in skill level and they actually play all of the positions and the defense that goes along
let's
with
put
it. And they're a little
boys,
prettier.
Let's put eighth grade boys basketball on then. I bet you that's a better product too.
No.
Wow. I just got zapped by the WNBA there. Did you see that?
You're listening in.
I did. Who got zapped?
The whole freeze
like
went up
reset.
And down.
Yeah, I don't know who got fucked. That's
oh, like... wow. They're listening. They don't like when I talk about the WNBA. Well.
Who made them mad?
I mean... Don't worry. Nobody's listening anyway.
That's a true story. We'll be fine. Send your hate mail to at it's Ray Cash.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Let's get
everything
off the W.
Ray Cash pussy on Blue Sky, remember?
I just want to clarify that I meant a lot of what I said. I still do enjoy watching women's basketball. Let's move on. What do you think about a one-on-one tournament? Or what do you think about Ja Morant, who said watching Mac McClung win his third in a row, he might have to dunk? And then Giannis said, if you're in, I'm in. And then Zach LaVine said, maybe I got to come back and do this again. What if you got LeBron,
see what
and
happens
Giannis,
next year.
And Ja, and all these people? Like, McClung's got to be in
won't
it.
Won't do it.
Especially if you get, like, seven other super stud NBA players, you still got to have McClung in it. Right?
Oh, yeah, because he's the defending champion.
Yeah.
But I just don't think they'll ever do it. I just think at this point, nobody's going to want to do it. Like, what is the incentive at this point? Just.
But what
it's
if
not like it was back in the 80s, 90s.
Hey, NBA media and ESPN, let's make sure
even the thousands and the tens. Like, Nate Robinson at least had a name when he was going on his there with the dunk contest.
But I want to challenge the NBA media and ESPN to remember these tweets and bring them back up when it's time for people to just start declaring for this so that Ja Morant and Giannis Antetokounmpo and Zach LaVine get in this tournament.
You don't think Twitter has this shit pinned? They can find a racist tweet from somebody from 15 fucking years ago just to cancel them. You don't think they're going to keep tabs on something from a year beforehand? Come on.
Solo Sikoa hates math.
I mean, have you seen him wrestle?
No, he hates. Have you never seen the old tweets of him hating math?
No.
I think I look at his tweets. Okay. He barely cuts a promo tolerably. Right. Why would I want to watch him write something?
Never mind.
I'm just like, yep. I have more luck with the caveman from fucking Geico. Like, Jesus Christ. There's a reason why Fatu is talking now and not Solo.
Have you seen the new caveman commercial where he's like with their couple, with the other couple, and they're playing these games or something? And
yes.
Like, really?
It's not helping, Karen.
Oh, I love that he's at least still marginally relevant, you know?
So strange. It's really strange that they brought that back.
They're uncomfortable commercials at times. It's some of the better, like, created ads, though. Like, a lot of times I see some of these ads and I look at what they're doing and I'm like, oh my god, how much did you pay for that? But then you look at campaigns like this and others, like, that's Geico. Geico's got the Gecko, too, you know?
I mean, the 90s TV used to thrive on absurdist fucking commercials. You remember This Is Your Brain on Drugs? Like, you can't tell me that those weren't absurd fucking commercials. Like, Rachel Lee Cook frying an egg and then, like, throwing it out a window where the fuck it was? Like, fuck does that really mean?
Yeah, but you remember it. Like, there's iconic things it's like that.
Correct,
you know?
But, like, you remember the fact that the commercial was kind of cool, but you lose the how point about, because, well,
why?
Drugs.
How about I learned it from watching you?
Watching you, Dad! Yeah. And then everybody loves weather!
Oh, God, no. Remembers. Loves, you should substitute remembers for loves.
You will find yourself doing it once or twice out of just, like, nostalgic giddiness. Probably after a few pitchers of margarita or beers, whatever it takes you.
It's been a while.
But everybody reverts back to, like, sophomoric mentality after some amount of, I don't know, lubricant. However you want to put that.
It's fair. Very fair. Any thoughts on the whole sports weekend or anything sports related that we didn't touch on? I just wanted to go over the big sports weekend. I think, you know, we used to have a guy named Steve Zabin who was our sports guy in our morning show. I can actually listen to him locally now in the radio in the mornings, but he would always rank these sports weekends and you know, talk about which ones are the best and things of that nature. But I think this was a pretty fun one.
Used to be my favorite, you know, like, I didn't watch a single bit of the All-Star game except for, you know, what I saw highlights wise, because the 3-point shootout was always one of my favorites, but now it's like, I don't know. That one's still at least the most fun to watch.
English is optional on
this. Perfectly
show.
Cromulent word.
Thank you for saving it with that.
But like, yeah, the game isn't as entertaining as it used to be, and that's a bit of a problem. But you know, yeah, as far as like major things happening, this is a big one with golf and NASCAR kicking off, and especially with, you know, the hockey thing going on too, that just added a little bit more fun to it.
When it comes to variety, it was a good weekend because there was a lot to pick from. So something probably tickled somebody's fancy, you know, be it sports or later we'll get to like the sports entertainment aspect, which also happened over the weekend. So weekend wise, anything with sports or sports adjacent was pretty good. But yeah, like the NBA, like the 3-point contest, I think used to be fun because the 3-pointer wasn't the only thing you used to fucking see. Now it's novel if you see somebody post up in the paint or do a skyhook or do a dunk, which is why like people make such a big deal about what you were just talking about earlier with Ja and Giannis and all them talking about, yeah, we should join the dunk contest. When was the last time you saw a really nasty, like, posterized dunk in the middle of a game where you could actually just, you'd want that on your wall? Like, going back to when I was, like, late 90s, early 2000s as a kid, and just, like, you'd see, like, you know, Scottie Pippen when he fucking, like, dunked his fucking nuts on fucking Patrick Ewing, or fucking Jordan fucking dunking on everybody that existed. Like, that was shit you put on your wall, and you were just like, that's fucking cool, that's my fucking dude. Now, what the fuck are you going to do? You're going to posterize a fucking three-pointer? How dorky is this dude? Wow, what the fuck again?
So that's happening to all of us, right?
Are you talking shit?
The NBA hates us. We that's can't talk insane. Shit about basketball.
At least my recording's fine. Yeah, that's all right. Cool.
Are you going to put that on a poster?
Put what? All right, cool.
Raindrops.
Like, just a dude shooting a three-pointer. You really want a dude with his hand like this on your wall? Like, really?
No.
Don't
say that. Like, that's all it is. There's nothing cool about it. So the three-pointer needs to just get out of the game so effectively.
All right.
They need to change defensive rules or some shit. I don't know. Maybe get rid of 3 seconds in the paint. Make it so that you can actually play in the paint and want to get close. Make big men use, like, worth something. I don't know.
Ah, you're not going to see that. They want openness. They want more scoring.
Do they?
Yeah.
I mean, they may want it, but, like, does everybody else that's playing and watching really want it? Because NBA doesn't pull NFL numbers.
Well, no one does. That's just America's sport. What are you going to do?
I know, but, like, if you make it a little more interesting to old heads that like the defensive and the aggressive stuff and the not shooting from half-court shit, you might pop numbers. It's still cool.
Yeah, they're not going in that direction. They've been going away from that for a while. So.
Well, things come back around in style. So, you know, bell-bottoms were cool in the 70s, the 90s, and probably going to come back around soon.
Well, make sure you get your futures on bell-bottoms. You know, soybeans and bell-bottoms futures. Let's make sure
that
we get
those.
That
was an example that I knew we were all aware of. So you know
I wanted
that,
to
bitch.
Make sure I said this on this conversation. There is a documentary out, and I forget what streaming service is it on. You can look it up. We Beat the Dream Team. The 1992 Dream Team scrimmaged a group of college guys. Uh-huh. Eric Montross, Grant Hill, Rodney Rogers, Allen Houston, Bobby Hurley, a few other guys. And they beat the Dream Team. Go watch the documentary. It's fucking awesome. It's fucking awesome.
I didn't think it was a story that needed to be told, but yes.
Called We Beat the Dream Team. So. All right.
They've talked about that for the last 30 fucking years.
Yeah, but it's a great documentary. They finally all sat down, so.
They finally all talked about it at the same time, even though we've heard the story 800 fucking times since.
Andrew wants you to be mad at the world. PC Tony just wants you to go watch the documentary. That's it. It's okay.
Yes.
Elon wants to give you $5,000, but that's not going to make everybody love him and Trump.
I want $5,000.
So what's your point?
I don't know. I'm just trying to go to the next topic.
Got $5,000.
Never bringing the two of you together again. I kid. Hey, folks, before we move on to the next topic, prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Check it out. Plenty of great designs. Makes a great gift as well. That's prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
We'll have to get Ray's thoughts on this next week on whatever show appears on your Chairshot Radio Network feed next Thursday morning, but I once again want to go out of my way to say it's going to be a banger. It's going to be there. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. It'll be there when it's there. But for now, DWI 464 continues. Saturday Night Live 50. I know in one way or another we're all a fan of Saturday Night Live and have seen a whole bunch of things from our youth all the way into the age we are now. And experience all the different cast members. And at the very least, everybody can agree on it's just a factory for making movie stars. Whether you like these movies or not, whether you like some of the characters or not, it's pop culture at its best. And some of the greatest comedians have come through there. There's a really good documentary series in 4 parts on different things like the 5-minute audition, the writer's room, the process. That's on Peacock as well. There's a concert that was excellent. So if you have time, go back and check out the Saturday Night Live reunion concert. And then the actual show, it's on Peacock streaming now with all the commercials taken out. It's literally a 3-hour Saturday Night Live with plenty of great tributes, plenty of great appearances from casts from the original all the way obviously, to today. The audience was like the Oscars. It was filled with A-list celebrities. Jack Nicholson was out in public for the first time in a long time, made the show. He introduced Adam Sandler, who, if you're going to go back and watch anything, go back and watch the song Adam Sandler did with the guitar, paying tribute to everybody that was on SNL. It was amazing. I think Patrick O'Dowd put it best in the chat when he was watching it. He's like, damn it, Adam made me cry when he started talking about Chris and Norm. And it got me too. But it was just super phenomenal. I don't know how much you guys caught of it. And then your overall thought on SNL, what it means to you guys. Andrew, go ahead.
I mean, I probably caught the least out of everybody here because I just saw a couple clips. Because much like I think the general sentiment is, like the last, I don't know, let's say 20 years haven't captured me. Like, as much as I loved Kenan Thompson on all that, like, his SNL run, the SNL stuff is very forgettable. I'm not a fan of Yost or Michael Che or any of them. So, like, a lot of what they do just falls very flat with me. Like, it definitely peaked in the 90s and early 2000s. And I'm not even that big of a fan of Will Ferrell and Jimmy Fallon, as anybody who's heard other content that we've done together knows. I detest their versions of comedy, but gold came out of it with, you know, Molly Shannon and all of her ridiculous fucking characters, and Chris Kattan being a great fucking character, like comedian, and between Night of the Roxbury or the fucking, what the fuck, like the little wilderness boy, I forget the fuck that was called, but
Mr. Peepers, and The Rock, yeah. The Rock actually came on and was father of Mr. Peepers.
Yes. And like Dana Carvey's fantastic, and it helped launch Mike Myers, and like that kind of era, and like Phil Hartman, you gotta love like his dickish dry kind of delivery that like was fucking fantastic until he unfortunately passed away. And everybody loves Chris Farley if you're around our age. So SNL holds a special place in my heart, but the current version, I only find myself like liking a handful of skits every couple years, maybe. So I didn't catch a lot. I caught a little bit. I saw like the Molly Shannon doing the whole, I'm 50, SNL's 50. And I think Emma Stone was there with her and whatever that was, like the intro or something like that. And a couple other like random little nods and tidbits. I didn't see the Adam Sandler song though, so I am going to go Google that one after the fact, because that does sound like that's pretty good.
That and Tina Fey and Amy Poehler do a bit where they're interviewing the audience, and just a whole gigantic thing erupts. That's really good. Lorraine Newman and Pete Davidson do an excellent fucking skit. If you know Pete Davidson's character, Chad, where he's just like, someone will be talking to him and they'll just be like, okay. It's really good. DP, how much did you catch?
Pete Davidson does an impression of you?
Okay.
not as big of a fan as PC Tunney of Saturday Night Live, but did watch it quite a bit in the 90s and early 2000s. I watched the auditions segment of that back one thing, because that was really cool. That documentary, Tracy Morgan and a bunch of other people.
Yeah.
Walking through how auditions go, and how like just. Like, you're up there for 5 minutes and nobody laughs, nobody does anything. They're sitting there watching you, and it's like, that's got to be the most terrifying fucking thing ever.
And some of these people that they're in, these cast members, are watching their 5 minute interview for the first time ever.
Yeah. They go back and see, they're watching themselves do their interview and go, what the fuck was I thinking? Or, oh, I can't believe I did this or whatever. And like, really funny stuff actually on that one. I like to always seeing that background stuff and all those go. Watch the whole SNL 50, though, for sure. It was just fantastic. You mentioned some of the bits already, the Tina Fey, Amy Poehler thing. Weekend Update, having some of the guys back and seeing Bill Murray on there doing his top 10 favorite weekend hosts was fantastic.
First, he started with a list that had one person on it, and it was the best ever black Weekend Update hosts. And it was just one, and he pulled it. It was Michael Che. Jay wasn't sure how to feel about that.
Yeah, really, really funny. And Eddie Murphy
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. I was going to say weekend Eddie update. Murphy. We got Drunk Uncle and the girl you wish you wouldn't have started a conversation with were both excellent. Drunk Uncle's like my favorite.
Fantastic.
But you're about to mention the biggest Murphy. One. Yeah.
Just in both bits that he did, they did the Black Jeopardy and had Eddie Murphy on doing Tracy Morgan while Tracy Morgan was one of the other guests on Black Jeopardy. Eddie Murphy nailed Tracy Morgan. Like, I mean, what a phenomenal bit. Like, he had his voice down and just did Tracy Morgan to a T. It was fucking hilarious.
He did the Scared Straight one with Keenan also, which was excellent. You know that a lot of people, there was some backlash for Tom Hanks doing the Doug character, and he's been on Black Jeopardy as the Doug character. I know. So I was like, give me a fucking break, dude.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. At the beginning, the monologue with Steve Martin hosting, giving a shout out to the standing audience, to the writers, who are, he's like, stand up writers. And then they cut to a picture of them outside of the building, standing there trying to get in, I thought was hilarious. And the other one is, I know you don't like Will Ferrell, but Will Ferrell doing Robert Goulet is one of my favorite bits. He brought back Robert Goulet, which I thought was absolutely hilarious.
Will Ferrell breaks everyone in the Scared Stiff bit.
Oh my
because
God, yeah.
He comes out at the end as another guy from the prison, and he's wearing, like, he's got his nuts are almost hanging out of his shorts. Like, Sudoku, Keenan, Eddie, once he sees it. Like, the best thing ever, though, is Eddie Murphy comes out with half of his hair braided and half of it froed. And his name is All the Way Ray. He goes, because I never do anything half. And then you just look at him and only half is... It was like the best joke of the night with physical and verbal comedy.
My favorite bit of that whole night ended up being the alien probe bit. Alien abduction was absolutely hilarious. I know I like the Adam Sandler thing, but if you could only watch one thing, go watch that, because Meryl Streep coming out was absolutely hilarious.
Andrew, have you seen Kate McKinnon do the alien abduction thing where she pulls her jeans all the way up and talks about her cooter getting clawed by the little probe?
Yeah, that sounds slightly familiar, yes.
Meryl Streep comes out as her mother in character. I was just about to lose it. I'm like, arguably the greatest actor or actress, arguably the greatest person who's ever acted in the history of the world comes out and is going to do this part. It was hilarious.
Like a trailer park trashy type of, you know, woman getting abducted by aliens. Yeah. I mean,
great because it's Meryl Streep. Yes,
yeah, she's like... Yeah,
it was, what a surprise. Woody Harrelson and Pedro Pascal were the other two on there too. But like, yeah, it was so fucking funny.
But great weekend there. I mean, epic things happening there. There's a lot of people that when they do this in 10 years from now may not be around. But it's just the brilliance of Lorne Michaels. Go and watch these documentaries, how much all these people love him, you know, how they made it a family. I think the funniest thing I learned from watching the documentary, the four-piece documentary, is that, or they even talked about it, I think, on the special, is that because they did the anxiety SNL digital short. They go, you're it's just going to suck for 3 years, and then maybe it'll get better.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy to think that.
Like, even Tracy Morgan, I think, Tracy was the one. He goes, I went into Lauren's office after the first year, and he was like, I don't know if I can do it or whatever. And Lauren's like, no, it's just going to suck for the first 3 years.
Yeah. And it's like, I think, was it, I don't know if it was John Mulaney, or it was, because he was on there too. Somebody was talking about it too, like saying, you know, you write all these different things, and some of the times you go do your audition, and then they bring you in as a writer, because they're like, oh, you'd be better as a writer. Like, you'll write all these skits and stuff, and you're like somebody was like, I got my first skit I wrote was on the show, like, the first week, and it was like, oh, this is fucking cool. And I never got another skit for, like, 3 years. It's like, what the fuck?
As long as I'm getting paychecks, I'd be okay. But anyway. Right. All right, just a little love to another, you know, piece of Americana, honestly, a big piece of pop culture in America for the last 50 years, and... likely for 50 more. We'll see what happens here. Let's do this right here, like this.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Should we play this song? I think we should play this song. Why not? This is a fun song. Andrew remembers this song.
Curious where it's going.
Guess we're going to talk about wrestling.
Well, the boss called me up and said, come in to work. I just hung up on that slave-driving jerk. I'm going to wrestling.
He's going to wrestling. Yeah.
Well, you'd think I'd rather be sweating on a dock or watching somebody use a hammer lock. I'm going to wrestling. Going to wrestling.
Glad he said lock.
R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling.
R-A-S-S-L-I-N,
that's wrestling.
It's wrestling.
Well, I love to watch the missing link bang his head on a corner post. And the rumper bumper butt delivered by the Iceman.
The Iceman is throwing that... Throwing that junk wagon all over the place, jeez, apparently.
God damn it.
Staying away from the Iceman.
Between that and the Super Bowl, or not the Super Bowl shuffle, the fucking, the AWA fucking, what the fuck was it called? That fucking thing with Kurt Hennig and fucking Scott Hall, what the Wrestle Rock Anthem or some shit, what the fuck it was called?
Rap is Crap?
No, that's WCW.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I think it's like Wrestle Rock something, and it's got like Larry Zbysko from AWA.
That's just preposterous.
Scott Hall.
No.
That's preposterous?
Yeah, we wouldn't.
Okay, that's where we draw the line.
We wouldn't.
We don't want to give Vern Gagne any shine, but we'll give fucking like Howdy Doody some shine. Okay.
Gathering kids, it's Howdy Doody time.
Howdy Doody.
Thank you, Dan. All right, NXT Vengeance Day happened, and we had a pretty big NXT. Andrew, you seemed more versed in it than any of us. Would you like to explain the happenstances? I know not a lot happened on the Vengeance Day card. We did Stephanie Vaquera, new North American Women's Champion. All the rest of the titles were successfully defended.
Same. So, like,
but we did
it
have
was fun.
We did have a couple big things happen on NXT, though, on Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday was probably the bigger talking point with the whole Ricky Starks finally gets a name after his entertaining yet a little AEW fantastic kind of gimmick segment. Like, I get it. Like, Ethan Page comes out to kind of take the piss out of him, and then Javon Evans jumps him, and then it's just like this rolling thing until Ricky can finally sign his thing, and they zoom in on the new name, like it's something huge. It's like, oh look, he's Ricky Saints instead of Ricky Starks. I like Ricky. I liked Ricky in NWA. I thought Pretty Ricky was money back in NWA Power when he was like TV champ for a couple defenses. I forget exactly how long it was, but Ricky's great. The Hardys, you know, TNA Tag Team Champions, responded to No Quarter Catch Crew, throwing out a challenge for them. So we're going to see the Hardys defend the TNA titles on NXT next week. Because TNA is doing their filming at Full Sail for their live and then their taped stuff. So that makes sense. And then we got Moose coming out to challenge Obafemi, which everybody wants, but I don't love personally, because it's like, you're not going to job out Moose. I mean, you're not going to job out Oba to Moose. Like, Moose is currently eating two pinfalls to Jeff Hardy. He's not beating Obafemi. Like, it's fun. It's cool on paper. But, like, Oba's the fucking, like, master of the universe, master and ruler of the universe type character. Like, he's not losing a Moose. It looks kind of cool on paper, but it's going to probably be a disappointing match. So that upsets me slightly. But I do like where they're going with Vaquer, Julia, Jordan Grace, and then what are they called? Fatal Attraction, I think, is what that other stable is called. And I'm still kind of catching back up with NXT. I follow it closer than you do, Tony, but I'm still kind of like going back to like, what the fuck is this group called? Oh yeah, that's right. Because NXT 2.0 did kill it for me, and then I'm just slowly coming back into the game.
DP?
Feels like kind of the same for me. I'm working my way back to watching a little more NXT too, and this stuff with TNA is definitely, you know, piqued more interest, I think, as well. And having the Hardys come back and fight the No Quarter Catch Club is interesting, because I think we're moving towards them going against Frazier and Axiom.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's at, you know, WrestleMania weekend or something, maybe. But you know, so I'm interested to see where they go with that match and then, you know, build towards that actual tag team match between Axiom and Frazier, because that one's going to be really good. Because if I could have been on the Attitude of Aggression's Swaggies, that was my tag team of the year, was Axiom and Frazier, because they have been phenomenal in NXT. So
that was all of ours, too.
It was the only unanimous. It was the only unanimous on the Swaggy.
Yeah. Because that would be a phenomenal match to watch when that happens. So getting the Hardys back on WWE TV, I guess, to say, and getting that going is really cool. And I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago or something when we first talked about TNA, you know, coming in, that we would eventually see Moose at some point, you know, in some kind of crossover matches. So, you know, I think the match should still be good. I get, like, you know, Moose, you know, he's definitely not going to beat him at this point, but I think they could put on a good match and put on some good show and however they go with it. But yeah, he's definitely not beating Obafemi. But
does suspension of disbelief matter at all to you, Dan, when it comes to a match? Like, does it lessen a match when you know that the challenger is not really going to win, or do you try to judge it like objectively just on what's presented in front of you?
I'll judge it objectively. Like when Cody and KO were going to wrestle, I'm like, for the title, it's like, well, KO is definitely not winning this match, you know, but I'll watch the match and go, this is still a phenomenal match to watch and enjoy because of the story they're telling and everything that they do in the ring is, you know, makes that match a great match, whether or not, you know, the outcome is obvious.
I think what Dan said is important for guys like us or people like us or individuals, men and women like us who have covered the product for so long that there's so many big championship matches that you pretty much know. So you have, otherwise you can't. I've talked about how important suspension of disbelief is for 400 plus episodes on this show. And so I think it's just, you can't continue to cover it the way we do without being able to compartmentalize like that.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See home club for details.
Well,
I think some of them, it can make it more exciting to watch when you don't know quite what the outcome's going to be. Like the Royal Rumble was a great example, I guess, for the Royal Rumble match, because, you know, it kind of seemed like, well, it seems obvious, like CM Punk's going to win or, you know, whatever, but didn't happen. It was like, well, that's kind of cool, you know, just get a little swerve or something, you know. And some of those matches, yeah, it makes it a little more exciting because you might get into some of the near falls. But all in all, though, it's like, you know, even if you know the outcome, like you said, most of us can go, like, I know who's going to win this match and, you know, going to pick the winners when we go through the event. But like, you still are going to watch and you could still enjoy it for the match that it is.
I personally really liked Dan's initial answer when he was talking about the KO and the and the Cody match, where he said that he liked the story building to it, even though he knew KO probably wasn't going to win. I think suspension of disbelief is also partially based on the storytelling. If the story is good enough, you don't give a fuck if you know who's going to win, who's going to lose, because you want to see a resolution to the story. But the reason I asked was because it's something that I've noticed is a big problem in TNA's booking, is they just randomly throw fuckers at the title just for a defense. And I'm not going to sit here and go, Joe Hendry versus Jake Something was a really great slobber knocker when there was no reason for it. You knew Jake Something has no push. He has no momentum. He's a fucking joke. He's a jabroni when it comes to the perspective.
I like Jake Something.
I like him too, but he's not getting pushed, so you know he's not going to randomly win because there was nothing to validate him getting a flash pin victory and some big crazy thing too. But I really liked what Dan said about the framing of, if the story helps to ease the suspension of disbelief in a way, then you can swallow the match easier, even if you know, well, Cody's going to win because it's not KO's time kind of thing. But I think my problem just comes from when it's obvious, when you're just throwing in a easy title defense to pad a reign, it feels cheap, it feels stupid, and it feels like I need to not watch this anymore.
It's something WWE really doesn't do anymore. They'd rather have the guy not defended on the pay-per-view and kind of have
correct.
A right, you know what I mean? Like, and they've learned that the more you put these guys out there, the less money you're going to make on the bigger. Oh, here we go again. And we're back. The less money you're going to make on these big payoffs, right? So let's get into, before we completely get shut down, I don't know what is going on with Skype today, because it is not an individual thing. We have rolling blackouts during this show. WWE LFG. Andrew, you watched, correct?
I did.
DP, you're going to watch this, I think. It's on Annie. It's on Sunday nights. And it is basically the new Tough Enough. And we have
that's exactly how I was going to describe it. Yeah,
it's down at the WWE PC, and they've chosen 8 women and 8 men from their 100+ people they have working down there in development of students to be on this show. And
well, there's more than 8.
No, 8 men and 8 women.
Oh yeah.
One man and one woman will earn an NXT contract. Now these people have been at the Performance Center anywhere from a week to just under a year. Most of them closer to a year, but some of them in that other range. There is an Olympic gold medalist, female Olympic gold medalist in this crew, who's absolutely amazing. But
oh, Tyra?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love her. She's fantastic.
So Shawn Michaels is kind of heading the show. Obviously, he's NXT. But you have 4 coaches, Dan. Do you know who the coaches are, Dan?
No, well, if it's from what they were talking about in the commercials, I don't know if that was just guests, but was it like Bubba Dudley and Undertaker and all them, or no?
That's 2 of them.
Mickey James, and who was the 4th one?
Booker T.
So that's pretty amazing. So they're each going to end up with, I'm guessing, 2 guys and 2 girls, and they're trying to win the cup too. They get points for people getting the wrestler of the week or whatever, and they're working with them, but it seemed fun. It seems authentic because you got Taker and you got Mickey and you got Book and you got Bubba. Bubba is so, like, Bubba starts shit right away. This young guy goes to shake his hand and he doesn't shake his hand and says, "You can earn the room by shake my hand." You've seen it, right, Andrew?
But that kid's a dickhead.
He is a dick, but everybody thinks he's really good, though. So the best part, Dan, was they get to see him work. And then they're sitting there, the 4 coaches, and they're looking into the ring. And one by one, each of these kids comes out and does a promo. And then they get some feedback. Well, the one kid, go ahead, Andrew. Do you want to tell the story of this? What's his name?
You keep going with it. You're setting you're framing it real nice. Dickhead kid, continue.
Well, his nick is like, it's something BJ Ray or Adam or whatever, something. His nickname is BJ.
BJ is accurate because he's a fucking blowjob and a half fucking dick face motherfucker.
So he comes out and he does some weird, like, TikTok thing that doesn't even make any sense. And they're like, what was that? That wasn't even a promo. Do a promo. Do something real. So he shoots on Bubba because Bubba didn't shake his hand. And they go, "We actually liked it." And then they're asking him about it. And then he starts to be a total ass. And then him and Bubba get into it. And everybody's like kind of looking at each other. And Taker's just kind of looking in the ring, not saying anything. And Booker goes, "All right, you can go." And as the kid's about to leave the ring, like kind of out of it and about to jump, Taker's like, "Wait, come back." And he's like, Are you fucking kidding me right now? Are you for real? Or what, you know? And the kid is still kind of bullshitting with Taker like he doesn't fucking get what's going on right now. So eventually the kid leaves, and the first thing Taker says is, "Well, that kid's got talent. I'll give him that." Like, they all know he's got something, but he's just a douchebag. Could you describe it any other way, Andrew?
That's the parental answer to a douchebag dickhead kid, though. It's like, well, you could be an A student if you weren't a fucking retard. So, like, Like, that's exactly what this kid is. He thinks he's hot shit. He thinks he's got all these answers, and he tries to just, like, joke and belittle his way out of things. But he's a fucking moron. He doesn't know shit. And my biggest qualm with 90% of the male prospects is they're all the same fucker. They're all the same over-arrogant former football player bullshit fucking character. The only ones that really aren't are... I like Elijah Holyfield a lot because I feel like he's got a little more understanding to his personality.
I love how Bubba explained to him how to use his name because he didn't. Mm-hmm. It's this is a Vander's kid. DP is in this. Okay.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. So like he does this promo and really doesn't like you wouldn't even have known, right? And Bubba's like, you don't have to talk about your dad. And he goes, I know that. I tried to stay away from that, you know. And Bubba's like, yeah, I can understand that in so many words. But you can use your name.
Mm-hmm.
People know your name. You don't have to be in your dad's shadow, but you can use your name to get their attention and then go into everything else you're doing. Like, it was so good. Like, the constructive criticism and feedback that
is
genuine from these. And then as they're, like, running in the ring and doing different stuff, they're explaining and working on different moves. So this is just going to be as good or better, I think, than Tough Enough, Andrew.
It's a crunchier Tough Enough because Tough Enough was kind of like real world meets wrestling.
Sure, 100.
So you focused more on, like, their dorm life and their bullshit personalities.
Even the last version with Stone Cold, I agree.
Oh, I didn't even watch the last version. I'm just thinking, like, what, season one or two when fucking the Hawk Witch? That's still something that is burned into my fucking brain, putting, like, globs of peanut butter between two fucking waffles as, like, the fucking Hawk Witch. I was so mad that he didn't win because he had health issues. Like,
I wonder why.
Peanut butter is delicious, fucko. Shut up.
That's got great between two waffles.
Got that
when you eat it 20 times a day.
Well, I got the diabetes.
You ain't wrong, but no, like I said, my biggest issue is everybody's like this arrogant frat boy kind of personality, and that's not original when it's everybody. When everybody's just like, I'm a former D1 football linebacker, running back.
That's
whatever
what they're doing
the
right now,
was.
Though. That's what they're doing right now, though, with WWID and all that other stuff.
How many times can you repackage a Grayson Waller, an Austin Theory, a Braun Breaker? Like, Braun's at least a little different now, but that gimmick, like, you can't do arrogant dickhead so many fucking times. Like, the two I like the most, honestly, are the girls, and that is Tyra Mae Steele, because I love her personality. I love her name. I even love the fact that she can move her name into a promo, like Tyra Mae Steele Your Heart type thing. Like, if she wanted to be a baby face, like, that is so just, it's clever. I don't know if that's her shoot name or if it's purely a gimmick.
It
name.
Is. No, it's her name.
It's clever as shit. And I also like, I don't know her full name, but Tatiana, the Australian, former, like Australian gladiator girl. I forget what exactly, but like she's really cute and she has like a nice kind of energy where, cause she's like the youngest, like Australian ninja warrior. And she was on like the Australian American gladiators, obviously, and all this other stuff. So she's got a great physique, great look.
Thank God she wasn't on the AEW Australian show.
Oh, good God. Yes. But, like, those are my two favorite ones right now. And I do like Elijah a lot, too. But, like, the girls have me more interested than the guys do because they're such cookie-cutter frat boy fuckheads. Like, I'm not interested. Like, no. I tuned out of so many of them. I couldn't tell you half their fucking names aside from Gaptooth McGillicuddy because, like, at least he looks a little different. But I don't know what the fuck his name is. He's just missing a fucking tooth and he looks like fucking Cletus the Slack Joe Yokel.
The girls were definitely more impressive the first week. So DP, what they did was out of the interviews and the ring work that they saw, they picked two girls and two guys to have a match. And then they gave them each to be a heel and a face. And then it really didn't matter who won. But then from those matches out of those two, they picked who they thought performed the best. And mm-hmm. Tyra Mae Steele and Anthony Luke performed the best. And they got to choose their mentors. Tyra Mae Steele calls her boyfriend because she doesn't know who to pick. And her boyfriend's like...
Husband, I thought.
Husband, one of the two, yeah.
Okay.
And he's like, I'd pick The Undertaker, but that's me. So she comes back in and she picks The Undertaker. And Undertaker's like...
That's a smart answer, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But The Undertaker is like thrilled that she picked, like, you know, because he sees...
amazing.
Yeah, he sees Kurt Angle and he worked with Kurt.
And athletics,
like,
yeah.
Unbelievable. And she like gives off those vibes as like persona and taking to the business and things of that nature. And then Anthony Luke picks
Booker
T, I
think. Imagine the Kurt Angle mentality in Naomi's figure. Just... without trying to be like super like stereotypical or anything like that, she's got a nice figure, nice physique, whatever. But like, it's just, she's so athletic and so charismatic. It's fucking amazing. Like, if she doesn't win, she's really gonna have to fuck up the next couple weeks.
You know, sometimes they don't have the person like that win because they know they're gonna sign them anyway, so that they can sign somebody else and give them the rub from winning the competition.
Are you talking about Johnny Nitro and The Miz and everybody else who didn't win but somehow is still lasting longer than the win? Oh, we don't talk about that, Dan? Oh yeah. Only the winners get the contract instead of like all of the second, third, fourth place people. And
what the hell did you just say?
I just make great.
Sorry, Chris Tucker.
I just make great points.
You're the president, you're the emperor, you're the king, you're Michael Jackson, I'm Tito. I fucking forgot. I'm sorry.
You don't touch a black man's radio, okay? DP, what are your thoughts on this show as explained to us and the research you'd been doing and looking at different things while we were talking about it, as I could see in your eyes?
Well, the biggest thing I learned is LFG doesn't stand for Let's Fucking Go.
Oh, it does, though. Shawn Michaels said it did.
Well... It sounds like he's wrong, but, you know, that's what I would have thought, too.
Do you think
the lazy eye thinks one thing, the good eye thinks another, and sometimes he listens to the wrong eye.
Do you think you'll watch it?
Which one's the good one?
Shh, don't ask those questions. You don't want to know.
Which one's looking at you? DP, do you think you'll watch this show?
Yeah, I'll definitely tune into this. Saying it's kind of like, you know, old NXT, you know, all that stuff where the, you know, doing that whole bit, which is always fun to watch. And I like to see that kind of stuff, the behind the scenes, and watch them as they actually like train and what goes into certain, you know, those kind of things to make you a good wrestler, a good star and stuff like that. So that's always cool to watch in my eyes. And this sounds like, yeah, like a better version of those old Tough Enoughs, where, you know, you saw the stupid obstacle courses or whatever goofy shit they had to do. Like,
roll
this is
the
more...
barrel down the ramp and around the ring and come back. Right.
Carry the keg and, yeah, fuck that. Like, so this is, yeah, this looks like actually more entertaining to me to watch and like, you know, learn those different things and see how they, you know, kind of create a character and build you up to be more of a superstar, because that's the fun part for me. I like watching that shit, and so it sounds like a ton of fun. So I'll definitely have to tune in.
All right, folks, I think we did it again here. Andrew, thanks for coming back on the DWI podcast.
Of course. It took like what, 5 years to get me on once, but then I've been on like twice in the last 5 months or something like that. So like, shit.
Yeah, I'll see you in May.
Probably at this rate, yeah.
Let everybody know what's going on with you, my friend.
Covering TNA kind of like we were over. And again, if you've been watching TNA, you understand my quibbles with it, to put it nicely. But the NXT TNA crossover is going much better than the AEW one did, because there's a give and take.
Adults,
there's an understanding. What? Adults are in charge. Yes, that's a good way to put it. Even though, well... if you listen to Ariana Grace on commentary, you wouldn't think adults were in charge. But I appreciate her character. Like, I finally figured out what her character completely is, and I blame AJ for it, for even having the knowledge of this. Because her first name is obviously like an Ariana Grande reference, but her entire personality, and I don't know if any of you have siblings young enough to have like delved into Nickelodeon in the aughts and the tens, but Ariana Grande played a very vapid and bubble-headed character, I think, in like Sam and Cat and Victorious, which would say really stupid, like blonde things, but they would be kind of cute and charming and almost insightful. Like it's that clever like level of like that's borderline fucking stupid, but it's actually really cute. Like
so the DWI podcast.
Hey, look at that. Cause like I think the Nemeths, like Nick countered Frasier like kick and kicked Axiom. And then her whole reference on fucking like commentary was just like oh, he kicked his friend. Like and it was said in such a wit like a breathy, vapid kind of way that it's like so innocent and adorable that you're just like, I wanna punch you in the face, but that's cute. Fuck you. You
like,
bitch.
Yeah. It's like JBL headphones.
JBL headphones. Well, no. JBL but attractive.
You ever heard you don't know about JBL headphones?
Am I supposed to?
I can listen to so duh.
No.
Do
you
know? Oh,
do you got the music?
Oh no.
Oh, do you need the music?
I don't need it. The music? Should we do it for him? Should I give it to him?
JBL headphones? Mean, if you turn this into a bit, go for it. Because
I have nothing to do with this, so I can play the music. That's all I got.
Yeah, you can just real quick.
All right, you want me to play it?
Yeah, just real quick. JBL headphones, get your JBL headphones, stick them on your head, dome only if they're JBL headphones. That's about it, really. I just keep going on like that. Yeah, JBL headphones. Put them on your
when
head.
When I said vapid and cute, why did that come to your mind?
DP, where can
did
everybody
you
find
Google
you?
Did you need to Google what vapid meant?
DP, where can everybody find you?
And find me searching the dark web for JBL headphones at it's me, DPP.
I love it. That's fantastic.
Oh, I love it.
And if you want to hear more about our wonderful products, you can follow us at Podcast DWI and facebook.com/DWI podcast.
Oh, you sell these now?
Oh, we got plenty of stuff.
JBL
what else?
Headphones are like
JBL headphones. What else? DP, what else we got?
We got John Cena's trucks.
John Cena's trucks. Yeah. What else we got? Hulk Hogan's.
Red Rooster's chicken. Red Rooster's Roaster's chicken.
Yeah. Hulk Hogan's with like Macho Mayo.
Terry Taylor. Red
Macho
Rooster.
Man. Yeah, Terry Taylor, the Red Rooster. He's taking over Kenny Rogers' Roasters.
Okay.
Better look out.
There you go.
Yeah, we got the superstar, the WWE super subs with Hulk Hogan's and Macho Mayonnaise.
Got him. You can follow me at PC Tony. Make sure you listen to everything ChairShot Radio Network on all your favorite streaming platforms. ProWrestlingTees.com/ChairShot. Check it out. Makes a great gift as well. Thank you, Andrew Belaz, DP, PC Tony. AJ, where are you?
He's at work.
Sucker.
Sad shit, bitch.
Wow. Don't worry, folks. That's his brother. He can call him whatever he wants.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See Home Club for details.